It's a blessing to see all these little ones in the house of God. I appreciate parents and grandparents bringing them to church. And they need church. And they need guidance, not of this world, but of that world. And so I thank you for having them in the house of God. President Trump, I've picked up on something that he's said many times in his speeches, his rallies. He says America is a nation in decline. I got to thinking about that, not just materially, but spiritually, and began to go through some thoughts and what God has to say to us and about our nation today. And I looked up some statistics here on people that believe in God. And I'm talking about the true God, the God of this Bible right here. And the statistics I found, it says that 88% of people in America believe in God, but only 54% of them believe in the God of this Bible. There's 34% of people that just believes in a higher power. They don't know what they believe in. They just believe that there's a higher power. And that leads me to realize that the other 46%, God calls them a fool. Now, another stat I saw was 71% of people believe there's a heaven. 61% believe there's a hell. And, you know, it makes me wonder, you know, where did our nation go crazy? I mean, when I said 54% of people believe in God, that statistic is dropping year by year. Year by year, there's less people that really believe in God. And I don't understand folks today. And maybe the Word of God tonight can shed a little light on us about, you know, where we're at as a country and where we're at, you know, as a world today. In Psalms chapter 14, I want you to look at a verse there. In Psalms 14, there's something amazing here. In Psalms 14 in verse number 1, and Psalms 53 in verse number 1, the two verses are exactly alike, word for word. Psalms 14 and 1 says this, God speaking to mankind, he says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They've done abominable works. There's none that doeth good. Now, this fool that God is talking about right here is a person that I believe has seen God's works. They've maybe heard God's word. They've just determined in their heart they're not going to believe. They've rejected God. They've rejected his word, his works, and everything about God. They've just decided, well, I ain't going to believe that. You know, if you believe in God, if you believe in this Bible right here, you know this is the basis for all moral standards. This is what laws are, the laws of our land, most of them, and they should be based upon what thus saith the Word of God. The Word of God is true. The Word of God is pure. It's correct. It'll never lead you wrong. And so I think the reason that there's a lot of fools in our country today, they don't want to apply this Bible to their life. They're in love with sin and the sins of this world, the things of this world, and the Word of God rubs them the wrong way. And so they've chosen, well, I'm just not going to believe in God. But God said, you're a fool. Because each and every person that has life today and has ever had life is going to stand before God one day. And so tonight I want you to notice some things. As we look at this thought of God says the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. So I want to look, if we have time, I may not get to all of it. If we don't, we'll go to the house. But I want to look at the mind of a fool, the materialistic fool, and the misery of a fool. Now, God has put this in here for a purpose, as a warning to mankind. this verse right here should sound an alarm in our hearts and in our lives. Can I tell you this? As we see this decline in the belief of God, there's a great responsibility that's given to mamas and daddies, to grandmothers and granddaddies, to nurture little children up and to build a faith in them and a trust in God. And you know, the main way that they'll learn is by example. When they see mama and daddy have leaned and trusted their life and put their life in God's hand, and they see God at home, they're not going to get enough God in church for 1 hour a week or 2 hours a week. They need home life, where God is the main focus of the home and the main trust in the home. But let's look in, I want you to turn with me to the book of Romans, chapter number 1. A powerful passage of scripture right here. And I want you to look right here what God has to say about the mind of a fool. Romans chapter 1. And let's look down in verse number 18. The Bible says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." Now, this speaks of the Word of God and the danger of unbelief. He says right here that the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who reject the truth or who hold back the truth in unrighteousness and ungodliness. They've chosen not to believe because they're ungodly, they're unrighteous, and they love the life of sin, and they don't want God's standards and God's laws in their life. And so God is saying right here, this is a fool right here who's presented the things of God, the Word of God, and they reject it. They say, "No, I won't believe." And so God says that they're facing the wrath of God, and one day they'll have regrets of what they've chosen. You know, you look at this world situation today. Listen to folks talk. There's a lot of folks that fear global warming. There's a lot of folks that fear World War III. There's a lot of folks that fear socialism, communism, thing after thing after thing. But the greatest danger that man is facing today is unbelief. Unbelief. Because it's going to bring the wrath of God upon them one day when they leave this world and stand before God. All that they have is hell to gain. And so you better listen. Look at the mind of the fool that rejects the Word of God. Not only that, rejecting the Word of God, but rejecting the witness of God. In Romans 12 and 3, the Bible tells us that God has given to every man a measure of faith. You know, these little old children, they don't have any trouble believing in God, do they? They'll listen to the Bible stories, they listen to their teachers, and they're interested, they're energetic about the things of God, because God has given them a measure of faith. But that faith has to be built upon. It has to be exercised, and they have to realize, they have to look at mama and daddy and all the people that they ever come in contact with, and their faith can grow by the Word of God. And so they need us. You know, when my mama, she passed away several years ago at age 89, but she grew up in a different time. She went to a little schoolhouse, a little one-room schoolhouse down yonder on the side of Blackjack Mountain. And they taught them reading, writing, arithmetic, and this book right here. This book right here was one of the most important things in their curriculum day by day. But now it's been pushed out of our schools. Prayer's been pushed out of our schools. And the devil has got his foothold in the school system today. Amen. Now, not only the witness of God, he's given a measure of faith, but he speaks to mankind through creation. Folks that don't come to church, they don't have an excuse. The Bible says the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament shows His handiwork. Day by day, they speak to mankind and show knowledge of what God has done And the Bible says that there's no language where their speech is not heard. You can look at the heavens. You can look at the beauty of this world right here and realize there's a God. Go out at night and look up into the sky and look at the millions of worlds that God has placed in the sky right in their place. There's a God. This thing didn't just come to pass by a big boom one day. God created the heavens and the earth. Amen. I ain't got no problem believing that. There's a lot of things that man has come up with to try to outthink God, and I just don't believe he's crazy. God created the heavens and the earth. In Genesis 2 and 7, the Bible says that God created man. You know, one of the greatest evidences I have that there's a God, Brother Tim, is looking in a mirror. The psalmist said, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. God took the dust of the ground. He formed man. He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. You know what you can do? Try this right here. Any of y'all done this Ancestry.com? I had never done this. But they take your DNA, and they take this DNA, they study it, and they can tell you, you know, if you're Scottish, you're Irish, you're African, or you're English, whatever. But you know what? They ain't going to find no monkey in your DNA. And that's what this world wants you to believe, that you evolved from a monkey. They ain't going to find no chimpanzee, no ape, no nothing else of an animal in your DNA. You know why? Because God created you, and He breathed into your nostrils the breath of life. You became a living soul made in the image and the likeness of God. So a fool will reject the witness of God. God speaks through creation. Hey, I tell you what to do. When you get home, go look in the mirror. Look in the mirror and realize that you're a creation of God. Not only to reject the word of God, the witness of God, but look at this, rejection of God's wisdom. Look at verse 21 and 22 right here. He says, because when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. There's a lot of folks that think this book right here is foolishness, but they're going to find out one day what truth really is. They're going to find out that their wisdom was foolishness in the eyes of God. And God's wisdom is what wisdom that'll stand. Listen to me. Man, hey, you ever heard this old statement? Well, he's just an educated fool. A lot of them in the world today. Amen. Though they look into the wisdom and teachings of man more than the teachings of God, more than the Word of God. The Bible's become old-fashioned, outdated to them. But let me tell you something. This Word right here will never grow old. This is fresh today. It's the day that holy men of God penned it down. And it still speaks today. Thank God for that. Oh, listen to me. They reject God's wisdom and become an educated fool. But notice this. The wickedness of man. This passage of Scripture right here shows that man is on a progression downward without God. Man has not evolved, but man has devolved. Amen? Adam and Eve lived in the garden in perfection, didn't they? Until Satan come in and deceived them. And from that day forward, man has begun a downward spiral. And without the love of God and the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll wind up in a devil's hell. None good, no, not one, is what the Bible says. But notice this right now, the wickedness of mankind. Verse 23 through 28, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man, and to birds, four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Let me stop right there just for a minute. God's word's forever settled in heaven. You better watch these birds that's coming up with a new gospel, with a new way, with a different word from what this King James Bible says. That's why we strictly stand on the KJV version of the Bible. There's plenty. Go to a bookstore and look at all the versions you can find on the shelves of the Bible. If you want to, you can find one that'll fit your sinful lifestyle. Amen? You can. And so listen to me right here. You better watch out. They'll change the truth of God into a lie. He says, for this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Talking about the wickedness of mankind. A reprobate mind. A mind that has rejected God, and God has now rejected them. The Bible says in Psalms 10 verse 4 says, the wicked through the pride of his countenance will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. A lot of folks never give a thought to God. Never get a thought to dying and leaving this world and standing before a holy God in judgment. The wicked, listen to me, the mind of a fool. You know what the devil would love to do? You know, I think about these little old children an awful lot. Boy, what a wicked day they're growing up in. You better do all you can do. Mamas and daddies, grandmas, grandpas, aunts and uncles, you better do everything you can do to instill faith in them. And let them know that our God lives. That our God lives. They need you. You hear me? They need you. They need me. They need everybody to see that our Redeemer lives. So listen. That's what the Bible has to say about the mind of a fool. The devil wants their mind. He wants to instill a lie in the minds of people today. And he's doing a good job, because we see statistically that we're in a decline. The people that believe in God, truly believe in God. And let me say something else about believing in God. The devil, he believes. But Jesus says you must be born again. You must be born again. You'll not see the kingdom of God. You better make your call and election sure, because Jesus is coming back one day. Better be ready to meet him when he comes. Not only the mind of a fool, but the materialistic fool. I want you to look with me at a passage of scripture in Luke's gospel, chapter number 12. Luke's gospel, chapter number 12. In this passage, Jesus speaks about another type of fool here. Verse 13. Now Jesus, these previous chapters right here, you'll find that Christ is moving about. He's healing. He's casting out devils. He's teaching. He's preaching. I mean, he's really ministering to the needs of the people right here. Notice this in verse number 13. Somebody really interrupts the service right here. And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. Now that rubbed the Lord the wrong way. You see, this man, he'd been somebody that died, no doubt, and had some stuff to leave behind. Now, there's a family feud going on. There's a family that's divided right here over material things. Let me tell you something. The best thing that you can ever leave your family is spiritual riches. You see the things of this world? Look at all your stuff. It's going to burn up. Look at all of it. It's going to burn up one day. But the things done for God, the spiritual blessings that you can leave behind for your family, is something that'll help them through life. Money will run out. Hey, material things, they'll rust. They'll go away. I know folks that's inherited a lot of money and a lot of things, and you know, after a few years, they're totally broke. Hey, they didn't have nothing invested in it, so it easy come, easy go. Amen? But spiritual blessings, spiritual riches, that's something you can leave your children, your grandchildren, your family, your friends. That's something you can leave that'll help folks through life. And it'll last. It'll stick with them. This right here, they was two brothers that divided right here. And the Lord said unto him, "Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you?" In other words, we got a good service going on here. What are you bringing this junk in the house of God for? Amen. You know, when we come to the house of God, get in the presence of the Lord, our mind ought to be focused on Him. It ought not to be focused on material things of this world. What I'm going to do this evening, what I'm going to do tomorrow, and how I'm going to make some more money tomorrow. And, you know, your mind goes crazy. But Jesus said, better get your mind focused in the right place. The materialistic fool's what I'm talking about right here. And He said unto him, "Take heed." He has something to say. He has a decree that He makes right here. "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth." Now, can I say this? You ought to teach your children to be godly, not greedy. Godly, not greedy. Jesus gives a warning right here about wealth and about worldliness and about true riches right here. And He goes on now and He begins to speak a parable unto him, saying, "The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, 'What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits?' And he said, 'This will I do. I'll pull down my barns and build greater. There I'll bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I'll say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry.'" You see this man right here? He had a great period of prosperity in his life. I see his demise, though, in this passage right here. He already had barns full, didn't he? I mean, he's already a prosperous man. The Bible says he was rich. And his ground brought forth plentifully. I mean, he had more than he knowed what to do with. And what did he say? "It was all about me. It's all about, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that, and I'm going to just take it easy. I'm going to have a lot of stuff laid up for many years to come." You know what he didn't do? He didn't bow his head and thank God for all he had. He had workers. No doubt he had servants that worked his house, workers that worked his fields. He wasn't thankful for that. The Bible says nothing about him sharing his wealth with any of them. Greedy, wasn't he? He was a greedy man. You know what? The Bible says that we see a brother or sister in need, we're to help them. Amen. We're not to be greedy with what gives us, what God gives us. The Bible tells us that God gives us to us that we might have to distribute or to give others in need. So don't let greed take place in your life. Listen to me now. he had great prosperity, and he had great plans. Well, I'm going to build me some more barns. I'm going to just tear down my old barns, and I'm going to build greater barns, and I'm going to lay up all my fruits and my goods there. Here was a plan he had. I'll say to my soul, soul, thou hast much good laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Proverbs 21:27-1 says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Boy, we make a lot of plans for tomorrow, don't we? We do. But those people that got up this morning, went to work, didn't make it home tonight. Those folks has had big, big plans for tomorrow, but tomorrow never come. And so the best thing that we can do in life is be rich toward God and not in the things of this world. Listen to me. He had no plans for God in his life. And so we see not only in his demise, he had prosperity, he had plans, but now he's got a pronouncement made by God himself. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? You know, the Bible says this in Ezekiel 18:4. God says this to mankind. He said, behold, all souls are mine. As the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. And the soul that sinneth, it shall die. You see, God breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life. Man became a living soul. That soul belongs to God. And God's going to call for that soul one day. The saved soul or the lost soul, still going back to God, either for heaven or hell, where man's soul will wind up. And so this man, he took no thought for his soul. He had big plans, but his plans was cut short. He didn't have any riches toward God. Notice what he says here now. Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. He was interested in self. His life was consumed with his stuff. He gave no thought of where his soul was going to end up one day. Now, God said he was a fool. He was a fool. So we see the mind of a fool, see the materialistic fool. But in Luke 16, and this will be real brief, what I've got to say, the misery of a fool. Some theologians believe that this man in Luke chapter 12, this rich man in Luke 12, is the same rich man in Luke 16. I don't totally agree with that. I know there's some great comparison in them. And I really don't believe in Luke 16. I don't believe that's a parable, because Lazarus is named. He was a man. He's not some fictional character in a parable. But this man, the Bible says that he fared sumptuously every day. In other words, if you looked at him today, if he was among us today and you looked at him, you'd think, well, he's got it made. He's got a lavish lifestyle. He's got money to burn. I mean, he's just got it all. And there's a lot of folks in that condition today. Don't be envious of those that are rich in this world's goods and have no God about them. Don't be envious of them. Be sorry for them. Be sorry for them. Because Jesus gives a warning in the Word of God to beware of the deceitfulness of riches. You know, there's a lot of folks that's trusting in their riches. trusting in their money, but when it comes time to die, money can't buy you one more heartbeat. Money can buy you the best doctors, can buy you the best medicines, the best hospitals, but when you reach that bounds that God has set for your life, money's worthless. And by the way, the Bible says you come into this world with nothing, and that's the way you're going to leave. Nothing. But you can send some treasures ahead. And when you leave this world, I believe that, I don't know if it'll be angels or Jesus, one or the other, going to help you out of this old world. Take you out of this body and take you into the world He's prepared for you. But this rich man right here, he fared sumptuously every day. But you know what? His days run out on him, didn't it? His days run out on him. And he had no God about him. I believe through this passage of Scripture right here, he'd heard about God. I believe that he had people, a person to witness to him. I believe that person was Lazarus, who was laid at his gate, because after he's dead and lift his eyes in hell, being in torments, wanting Abraham to send Lazarus to dip his finger in water and touch his tongue. That was impossible. He said, but would you send Lazarus back to my house? I've got five brothers, that he may witness to them. No doubt Lazarus had told this rich man about Jesus, about God, and he had rejected the witness of Lazarus. And now he's in hell. Listen. I can almost hear him screaming in hell. I can almost hear him saying, preach it. Preach it. Preach it. Tell them not to come to this dreadful place. Torments, eternal fire. It's hard to comprehend eternity in my mind. But eternity is a long, long time. No end. And the Bible says that hell hath enlarged itself. People are dropping off into hell by the multitudes day by day. They'll be there for all eternity. No second chances after you leave this life. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Now is the acceptable time. Get saved before it's eternally too late. He didn't put his faith in God. He put his faith in his money. He lives today, forever, and all eternity in the fires of hell. The mind of a fool, the materialistic fool, and the misery of a fool. Boy, you better know that you know that you know that you've been born again before you leave this life. You can be a church member all your life. You can sing in the choir. You can teach Sunday school. There's people that'll stand in a pulpit and preach the gospel's never been saved. But you better know. Don't take a chance. You better know that you've been saved. Heaven is real and hell is also real. And that's where we're headed, one place or the other, one day. I'm glad my name's written in heaven. I'm glad I'm saved tonight. How about you? Amen. I trust the Word of God's helped us tonight. Listen to me. I'm preaching for these little kids. The devil is a deceiver. He's a liar. And he wants them. And you better get involved. Get God in their lives. And church, God's given us a responsibility. All them little old kids that come down here on Sunday morning, Brother Ken, God's put them in our hands for a reason. We better stand in the old paths and keep the fire of God burning at Liberty Baptist Church. Do it for them. Don't quench the Spirit of God. Be real in church and in home. Amen. All right, I appreciate you being here. Would you stand with us tonight?